Hell froze over, so here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that makes hay while the sun shines. He knows that a Chinaman is really a ship that sails to China. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am Doug Jones, as you heard my nephew Drew McMillan just say. I am the Medicare expert that you're stuck with for this episode. And if we can scrounge somebody up to do this job in the future, that's fine with me. But I don't see him doing it for the price that I do it for, which is virtually free. So anyway, thank you for joining us. We're so happy to have you in our audience. And thank you for enjoying Drew's excellent work. He can be seen on the Canadian show Powerboat TV, which is available to Yanks in the States, powerboattv.com. There are episodes of the program. You can watch Drew at work having fun out there on warm Canadian summer days, messing around on motorboats and driving trucks, pulling trailers, all the things that boat owners have to contend with once they buy the boat. Now, generally, this is the part of the introduction where I explain who the lazy man is and why it's not really insulting to be podcasting or to be writing books dedicated to the lazy man. But instead, I think I'm going to ask Randy to play our 30-second spot. It's a pretty good explanation, so I'm going to sit back quietly and listen to that spot.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thanks, Randy. I appreciate that. He's always Johnny on the spot with that thing. Anytime I ask him to play it, it just appears. So anyway, speaking of Randy, how are you today?
I'm good.
Everything going well?
I'm good. I just happened to notice, you know, I have a essentially a real-time news update. I have the Amazon Echo show. And I just noticed, now you may be interested in this in case you want to go pick it up, Jimi Hendrix, his guitar, is on the auction block, and they're expecting it to go for $226,000. So that's a bargain at any price.
Well, let me ask you this. If somebody said, this is Jimi Hendrix's guitar, and I would like you to buy it from me, I would put that in the category of the Brooklyn Bridge or any number of other other things made out of that valuable mineral, unobtainium. Didn't he destroy every guitar he ever had his hands on?
Well, there was that problem, but I think there was one guitar that he traditionally used and maybe kept in one piece. And this may be the one they used at Woodstock. I don't know.
Well, there was a famous Phoenix morning show host, Johnny Brandmeier, and he was from Wisconsin, but he moved from Phoenix in the 80s to Chicago to go on the air in Chicago, which at that time was a much bigger market, and he made friends with Jimi Hendrix's father. I forget what his first name was, but he would call up Mr. Hendrix. I guess it was Mr. He would call Mr. Hendrix all the time and ask questions about Jimi. Mr. Hendrix didn't sound like the most energetic guy around. But I'm hoping that if the guitar sells for the kind of money that you're talking about, that I'm hoping most of it goes to Mr. Hendrix, because I imagine all these decades later, he probably would like to hire, you know, good qualified home health care aides, or, you know, he's going to need something to take care of himself.
Have you been to my house since I acquired a very nice piece of memorabilia?
Would that be the elevator that I do not see in your front hall?
No, that's yet to come, but quite a few months ago. Yeah, you probably haven't been here since I got this. I acquired a guitar from Alice Cooper.
You're kidding. No. How did you do that?
I
heard about this. Let me ask you a question. Was this not a bone of contention in your household?
This was a bone of contention. And
there was an auction, as I recall.
Long story short is I was feeling embarrassed because nobody was bidding quickly or big enough on Alice Cooper's guitar.
Was Alice there watching the auction?
Yes, Alice was. This was for charity. And I put a bid in thinking, okay, that'll get the bid started. And then one other guy bid, and I go, okay, now we got it going. And I outbid him, and guess what? I now own Alice Cooper guitar. Now, I'm glad to have it. I truly am. It's a piece of history. But I would have preferred at the time that someone else outbid me.
Well, I understand that. You were actually just trying to do the charity some good by getting the activity going. Well, I got to tell you, I used to come to Phoenix when I was in high school, and I would get in my grandmother's, my grandmother's four-door Oldsmobile 98, and I'd go out to these teenage nightclubs along Camelback Road and Indian School Road. 7th and Indian School was one big teenage nightclub in a strip mall. It was like an empty, Walmart store would look like if it didn't have any shelves in it and stuff, and they always had kick-ass bands. And there were two bands that I liked very much. One of them was a Byrds cover band. These guys sounded just like the Byrds to my uneducated teenage ears. I went every place they played, the Red Dog, and there were three or four places around. But this place at 7th and Indian School had a house band that I also remember liking very much, and the house band I read just recently, like 6 months ago, I found a book on the music scene in Phoenix back in the 60s, and the house band was Alice Cooper before he became Alice Cooper. It was his high school band that he put together. He's about a year or two older than me, and his real name is Vincent Fernier, and he and his high school buddies. And they just, started pounding on guitars and drums, and they wound up being pretty good. And so I liked Alice Cooper before he was Alice Cooper, decades before he was Alice Cooper.
Well, the thing I really respect about Alice Cooper is in the local area and maybe out beyond that, he does a lot of stuff for charity, a lot of stuff.
And he's just a great guy from what I understand. I've never spent any time with him, but people seem... He's got a restaurant. Has he still got that restaurant?
Yeah. And the situation is this was a golf tournament / charity auction. And I'm not a golfer, so I wasn't going to waste my money doing that. But you could play a round of golf with Alice Cooper.
I understand he would be likely to beat you.
Yeah, well, Alice, he's a good golfer. And the fact of the matter is I'm not. And I hate to be embarrassed so much in public. So I went to the auction, and I was fortunate to acquire the guitar. And I'm proud of having it. But I wanted it to go a little higher in the case of the charity.
Well, I understand. Now, if we weren't talking about a charitable event here, I would be embarrassed and apologetic to the audience. We made a pledge after I arrived back in Illinois and we burned off all of our piled up podcast episodes, and we got to the point where we were completely caught up. We made a pledge to each other to get after it early in the podcast episode, get to business, and do the fun stuff later on. Your mother had a method of phrasing that. I forget what it was. Eat dinner first and dessert later or something, you told me.
No, you eat your dinner, then you can go out and play.
Oh, there you go. Well, we almost failed to do that this episode, and I don't even have the excuse of the threat from patrons at the Buffalo Chip coming after you, because it's closed from what I understand. Is that correct?
The Buffalo Chip, Harold's, everybody, I mean, I'm not going to get into the reasons why, but they were working off old liquor licenses that someone in the government decided that they were operating outside the licenses intent. So we won't get into that, but yes, the Buffalo Chip and Harold's, the last I knew, are done until
lawyers, whenever. Probably until lawyers earn a lot of money.
Until lawyers earn a lot of money, and then I'm going to have to go buy a lot more beer to get them back in business.
Well, I'll be hopefully out there to join you in purchasing that beer and helping to refloat those businesses. But anyway, I was... going to delve into the mailbag, the MLM, the Medicare for the Lazy Man mailbag, this episode. But of course, what happened? I let us get sidetracked early on, and I apologize to the audience. So let me read a letter that poured in just this morning. And frankly, it harkens back to the last episode, the one that we just did on the Irma. But let me read this this letter. This is from a fan whose name I don't know. I don't know his name. I don't know his or her sex. I don't know where they're from. I think I do know where they're from now. It's buried in the text. But this name is BT365. And so BT365 wrote, "Hi, Doug. Purchased your Lazy Man 2020 book last year. I like how you incorporated autos into your book. I used to own a goat. Vroom." And Randy's perked up at that because he also he belonged to the GTO club, as do I. I've got a 67. Randy had a 64 and a half, one of the first GTOs ever conceived. And apparently BT365 is finally reminiscent of his GTO. Then he says, "Like your podcast." He's not big on, I'm adding some of the pronouns. He just used pronounless sentences. "Like your podcast. Medicare insurance is boring. You two keep it entertaining." Well, that just makes me blush. What a wonderful thing to say. Thank you very much, BT365. Then he says, I left Arizona, where I really liked living. Low humidity, sunny most days, lower cost of living, and seldom saw a bug other than spider. Had to leave to help elderly parents in Georgia." Well, by God, in 1975, I had to leave Arizona to help my wife's elderly parents in Illinois. So I know the pain that can cause. "Next year, we'll sign up for Medicare and looking for high deductible plan G." This man's a genius, or this woman. She might could be a woman. "Looking for an agent in Florida, as well as a company that sells Medicare high deductible plan G Medicare supplement. So far, getting the runaround or agent starts trying to sell another plan as better. I hang up at that point." So he is following my instructions that you have to be persistent because almost nobody else in the United States understands or promotes high deductible Medicare supplement plans. If you take a close look, they offer the average person the most bang for your buck that you're ever going to find in Medicare insurance. So then BT365 goes on to say, "I did something real dumb. In late 2019, was getting nervous holding too many stocks and sold a boatload of them, which of course means capital gain. That means I'm going to get Irmanized at the highest bracket for 2021. Boy, you know, that's the problem with taxes. It hurts to pay taxes, but it's awful nice to earn the income that they come and tax. So, you know, that's a bittersweet thing. It's like childbirth. It's great to have a little kid, but you forget the pain that you went through in order to get that little kid. So, at least I'm told. I don't know. Haven't ever gone through the pain of childbirth myself, but you know, I pretend to be sympathetic to these things. Anyway, so BT365 says, "Be better, in my opinion, if Medicare calculated all tax years, or at least 10 tax years, and got an average base. Just seems more fair." Well, if BT365 listened to the episode just prior to this one, he or she would know that there is now a method by which they might appeal their IRMA, which is income-related monthly adjustment amount. BT365 spelled it the way most people would, which is IRMMA instead of IRMAA. But the whole point is, now BT365 should listen to the prior podcast episode if Randy was on schedule, and it was aired 2 days ago. And then they should go to get to the internet and get form SSA-44, which will help them appeal the penalty and maybe get it reduced or eliminated. Anyway, modest or low-income people may have one, maybe, blah, 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 da, 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 da. More about Irma, and I'm sympathetic, but frankly, I can see the audience yawning and scratching their heads. The reason I know what the audience is doing is because that's what Randy's doing. Too much Medicare, not enough goofing around. So, moving down the letter, I suppose you have no plans to sell Medicare policies in the state of Georgia? Well, you might be one of the first to know. Randy and I have been talking about this at great length, and we have kind of made a decision to turn the wheel that drives the that aims the ship and head it in a slightly different direction, whereby we will now be legally able to help people in all states and in District of Columbia too. So 51 jurisdictions. I have gone after those licenses, which is a pretty expensive proposition, and I will be prepared to help people like BT365, and that way they won't have to put up with the stupidity that I know that many agents are going to put them through when they ask for a high deductible Medicare supplement. And let's remember back to the book. They don't want to sell Medicare supplements because Medicare Advantage pays a lot more in commission. But if they're forced to sell a Medicare supplement, they don't want to sell a high deductible Medicare supplement because the commission they earn is teeny tiny compared to the commission they would earn on a full-blown security blanket Cadillac Medicare supplement plan. What I propose is that most healthy people purchase the high deductible Medicare supplement plans because that's going to be the best use of your money. The commission kind of sucks, but frankly, you're not in business to pay people commissions. You're in business to enjoy life. And buying a high deductible Medicare supplement plan leaves you a bunch more disposable income to enjoy life with. So anyway, BT365 says, I suppose you have no plans to sell Medicare policies in the state of Georgia. Well, just this morning I answered by saying, why, yes, I do. Here is premium cheat chart that shows you what the product would cost. And I don't know what your sex is. I don't know what your age is, but you can look at this chart and figure out what you would have to pay. It's pretty darn simple. So anyway, he says, getting somebody at Mass Mutual or another big corporation like that to help you is as frustrating as being one of those poor souls who owned a Yugo or a Pinto and tried to keep it running. I don't know. Those people really had big problems. Trying to find somebody at the Mass Mutual or a big insurance company to help you out shouldn't be that miserable, but I don't know. I never owned a Yugo or a Pinto, but I've seen people who did, and I know it was no fun. So anyway, since I answered BT365, I don't need to talk anymore. Oh, well, I can tell you what my answer was. My answer was, BT, you have given me a great gift. The gift of podcast content. For the next recording, I was planning to talk about Irma and potential ways to get out of it. Your very welcome email will help me flesh out my thoughts, so be sure to listen to the upcoming episode. So many people have contacted me with sad stories about not finding helpful agents that I've decided to change the direction. I am now prepared to help people in Georgia and everywhere else who want my assistance. You plan to enroll next year, in quotes. So please contact me 2 or 3 months before your selected enrollment date, and I will help you through the process as painlessly as possible. As step one, I've attached a plan high deductible G rate page from an A-plus rated company that sells high deductible plan G almost everywhere in the U.S. You will have to figure it out since I don't know your age, sex, or smoking status. If you feel like it, you might help other knowledgeable seekers by leaving a review on the site where you bought the book. They weren't seeing that coming. I managed to sneak it in there. I'd love it. Anyway, I hope they do. Thanks for writing. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you before your enrollment date. So once again, this is like backing into the announcement that we are changing our direction and more actively helping people who find it difficult to find an insurance broker that will cooperate with them. And I'm hoping that this is something that will catch on out there. But I know what's going to happen. The people that like to leave one-star reviews for the book are going to say, "Ah, it's just an advertisement for his to enrich him." So I don't know. We'll see if that holds up. But people do love to write negative reviews. And so far, the negative reviews I have, I'm pretty proud of. So, Randy, how much time do we have left?
Zero.
Oh, geez. I took that one element, that one letter, and stretched it out. Of course, we started out talking about, a lot of other things. Jimi Hendrix guitar and
Alice Cooper. Then we got into a little bit of automotive information.
All right. So we're going to have to pay attention in the future and try to get the business out of the way, the dinner out of the way before the going out to play.
Got to eat your dinner before you can go out to play.
So anyway,
I also had to eat my vegetables.
I love vegetables. I don't have a problem with vegetables unless they are lima beans. That was a big, big problem. And okra.
Okra. Oh.
I'm from Oklahoma. You'd think I'd like okra, but no, not me.
I think Oklahoma was named after okra, wasn't it?
No, it's actually, it means red man, but, who's got, I think that's probably not as politically correct as it was when they named it 200 years ago.
No, probably not. But we do need to say thank you to our audience for joining us again.
Thank you, audience, for joining us.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to seeing you next time. But in the meantime, go to Amazon.com, buy yourself a whole box load of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020.
Go to my beautiful website that Randy designed.
Yeah, absolutely.
MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Yeah. We sell, it's all there. There's a lot of great information. And not only that, but there's a picture of Doug on there.
Well, that's not what people should go there for. They should go there to learn about Medicare.
You can see what Doug, the anti-insurance guy, really looks like.
Well, that's what Doug used to look like. And Doug ain't changing that picture. I'll tell you right now, that picture stays forever. The other thing you can do if you don't really want to learn about Medicare is hidden in the website somewhere is a drag race between two 57 Chevy Gassers.
Yeah.
So if you like classic Chevrolets or you like to see them racing, and in fact, I remember now one of the girls that's starting or helping to stage one of the cars is dressed like a 1950s lunch counter waitress. I had forgotten about that. She was at a booth, and I saw her and her friends, and they're just bright red checkered costumes, and they're just like 1950s lunch counter waitresses. And so then I was shocked to see her down there staging these cars for their drag race. But
she was probably very good at it, too.
She looked as though it wasn't her first time.
I was going to say, it wasn't her first trip to the starting line.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So anyway, thank you very much, Randy, for allowing this process to happen so successfully. If it weren't for you, I'd be sitting here talking to my foam rubber that's surrounding.
Well, there you go. But, the foam rubber does really help the sound quality. So I'm thinking about maybe putting a lid over you, too, so then we can really knock out the echoes. But in reality, I don't hear the echoes anymore anyway.
Well, that's fantastic.
I'm just teasing you.
I'm gonna go back to Amazon, get another roll of foam rubber, and construct a lid. So just in case, because I'll do anything to improve the audio quality of this podcast, and I figure the content will just take care of itself.
I know. I agree with you. But on the other hand, we probably should land the plane.
All right. You land the plane. I'll close my eyes until, until I realize I've survived.
Put your tray in its upright and locked position. Put anything you have taken out of the overhead back into the overhead.
Might items have shifted in the overhead?
Items maybe have shifted. And after that, put your seatbelt on, bend over, and grab your ankles because we are landing.
Okay, well, thanks for your help. And we will look forward to seeing this audience again right here at the appointed time in what, 2 days?
2 days, yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.